Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be discussing investing in early stage healthcare and life sciences. And to do that, we're kindly joined by a partner at Deep Bridge Capital, Andrew Aldridge. Andrew, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to be getting into the investments that you're looking at Deep Bridge within the life sciences and healthcare sector and talking a little bit about your funds, your EIS funds. But before we do that, Andrew, would you be able to give us a background, first of all, to yourself and also Deep Bridge?
Absolutely, yes. So Deep Bridge was founded back in 2010. We launched our first fund at the beginning of 2014, and we invest in early stage technology, life sciences and renewable energy projects. Obviously, life science is the focus of this conversation today. We utilise the Enterprise Investment Scheme to fund the early stage tech and life sciences companies. We've got just over £200 million of capital that we've deployed to date into those early stage companies. About just over £50 million of that is into life sciences and health tech companies. So that's kind of a little bit of background of where we are.
Fantastic. So roughly 25% of the assets you have are deployed into healthcare and life sciences. I mean, just to start off, let's sort of look at the bigger picture here. I mean, how has that developed over the last few years in terms of the capital allocation into healthcare and life sciences, and what products have you, in terms of your funds, have you been bringing out to deal with this demand?
Absolutely. So yeah, we launched the Deep Bridge Life Sciences EIS in January 2017. So it's just over 4 years old. And that was really the focus. My colleague, Dr. Savas Neofitu, joined us in 2016 with the aim of really kind of developing the life sciences side of the business. We'd kind of done the odd kind of med tech business through our tech portfolio. And it was really to drive that forward. As we saw, there was an increasing trend. There was a lot of interesting things going on in the UK around the medical technologies, life sciences, pharma, biotech, etc. So Sav joined us to really kind of push that on. So like I said, we launched the Life Science EIS in 2017. And we've really seen, I think probably over the last 2 years, really seen kind of appetite and interest from investors grow into that sector. I think certainly last year with the pandemic, etc., for various fairly obvious reasons, I guess, life sciences and that kind of whole industry has probably been more prevalent and more kind of exposed than ever before. So that has led to an increase in interest from investors.
So you said there over the last 2 years, and of course that does coincide with the pandemic. I mean, when investors are looking at life sciences and obviously healthcare, are you finding there's any sort of particular trend, any companies that you're including in your portfolio, which is really grabbing investors' interest at the moment? And going back to the pandemic there, I mean, was there any investments that you were making due to the pandemic and obviously investing in that sort of area, so looking at the pandemic, given that you're sort of a longer term investor? Or did you say, well, okay, this may be something that's a bit, you know, a flash in the pan and the pandemic's not going to be here forever and it may not suit our longer term investment style?
Yeah, I think what we don't do is, as you quite rightly said, we don't make knee-jerk decisions and we don't kind of look at short-term opportunities. It is very much about long-term investments. I mean, the very nature of what we invest in, they are long-term investments. Yeah, we would expect investors to be in probably 5, 6, maybe 7 years or so they'll be invested before they start to see exits and returns. So this is very much patient capital. It's about long-term capital support companies on their growth journey. So from that aspect, it wasn't necessarily about kind of taking a short-term punt and anything related to the pandemic. However, there are trends that have come about due to the pandemic. And, you know, as we've seen kind of internationally as well as in the UK, you know, pressures on the healthcare systems, etc., has led to certain trends. For example, there is a growing trend of technologies, etc., to aid treatment outside of hospitals. So, for example, treatments and technologies to be used at home for treatment, so patients don't have to go into hospital. So that is a trend that we've seen that has has really kind of grown over the last year as a result of the pandemic and the pressures on healthcare systems. We've also seen certain things where, obviously, you know, there's been probably never so much profile for vaccinations, for treatments, for kind of drug delivery systems, etc. So all those kind of treatments, which again are being utilised to kind of to treat COVID, to treat those kind of viral infections, etc. Again, that is a focus that we're seeing, and I think, you know, people are now aware that we are going to be living with COVID for a long period of time to come. So ultimately, there will be you know, certain, some of our drug discovery companies have been working on COVID treatments, etc., and maybe looking at those alongside, you know, let's say they're working on cancer treatments. There have been kind of companies which have been refocusing slightly to look at viral infections as well as more traditional diseases, if you like, because we do see that COVID is going to be here for years to come.
So I just want to drill down in some of the types of companies that you're investing in. I mean, a lot of the companies that you've been looking at in the portfolio, including in the portfolio, are these ones that may have been set up during the pandemic, and obviously looking at the trends in the healthcare market and life sciences that have set up initially to target those? Or are these some companies that have been around for a while, and as you mentioned, they're transitioning towards the key trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, a majority of our companies are, we're talking about companies which have maybe changed focus slightly to see how they can work in the COVID world. We are now starting to see a number of companies that are now coming to us for kind of first funding round, seed stage funding, that we are currently looking at for potential future kind of portfolios. We're very lucky in the UK that we've got a great infrastructure for startups. So there are a lot of startups now coming to us looking for funding, which have been created during the world of COVID, if you like. But majority of the companies that we've been funding over the last 12, 18 months have been probably around a little bit longer than that, and have been, we've been supporting some of the companies. We might be on our second, third funding round with them, etc. And it has been about them refocusing and looking at how they can assist in the battle against COVID over the last 18 months or so. So, for example, we've got one company which is developing a novel drug wrapper. So basically, it was originally looking at cancers, so particularly the likes of bowel cancer, etc., and making those drugs much more efficient by delivering them to the area of the body where it needs to be delivered. Now, they then received grant funding to actually look at how that could be utilized for certain COVID treatments and how they can make those treatments more efficient. So taking advantage of those opportunities, they've now seen that actually there is a market. It's not just about the cancer market. They are looking at viral infections and how they can treat those as well as a long-term addition to what they're doing. So it's those kind of companies where there are opportunities. And like I said, there has been grant funding for some of these COVID treatments and looking at things. So from their perspective, it's been a very worthwhile effort or exercise to look at those opportunities and see how they can adjust what they're doing to treat those markets as well as their original primary markets.
Thank you. So when you're looking at these companies, Andrew, now when I speak to people that are looking at investing in private companies, they always say management is their key factor. So apart from management and the strength of the team, what is the most important factor that you're looking for when you're selecting companies to go into your portfolios?
I think there's two key things. You're quite right. Alongside the team is vitally important, and it's vitally important that the team is, their interests are aligned with ours as well. You know, ultimately, you know, like I said, we are looking for investors to be exiting within kind of 5, maybe up to 7 years. You know, what we don't want is, we don't want founders who are looking to create a lifestyle business and have no desire to sell the business in that kind of time frame. So that kind of aligned interest is vitally important, as well as the actual strength of the team itself. But I think beyond that, the two kind of things that are key considerations for us is, one is the addressable market. So, you know, actually, is the market there for them to actually grow? Is it just it's not just a vanity project, that actually they are creating something which will actually make a difference, and actually there is a scalable market there for them to target. So that addressable market is important. And then the critical thing beyond that is the intellectual property. Ultimately, that is the asset that our investors are investing in. That intellectual property is what a potential acquirer will be acquiring. So that is increasingly important. always vitally important for us, is to make sure that that IP is there and it's well protected. I think beyond that, from a portfolio perspective as well, we do try and make sure that we've always got a blend of different types of companies. So what we wouldn't want is, you know, an investor coming to us and they only being exposed to drug discovery companies, for example. What we try and do across the portfolio is we have a mixture of things like digital healthcare, we have medical technologies, we have diagnostic devices, we have biopharma, we have drug discovery, we have biotechnologies, we have wellness. That's a big trend that we're seeing at the moment, you know, kind of mental health and wellness kind of technologies, etc. So we always try and make sure that if a client is coming to us within a portfolio, they'll have a blend across different types of companies, because again, they will each have different timescales and exit profiles, etc. You know, for example, a digital healthcare company, we would expect, it's not always the case, but we'd expect a digital healthcare company to have a shorter time frame to exit than maybe a drug discovery company, because you know, drug discovery takes different rounds of research, development, etc., and can take time, whereas a digital healthcare, you know, as long as it's can prove it's got a market, then you can grow commercial traction quite quickly. So again, that comes into our thinking. You know, it is not necessarily that we would invest in things just for diversification, but we do try and make sure that investors are exposed across a wide portfolio of things, so they're not just investing it all in kind of one subsector.
So, Andrew, can we speak now about some of the companies that you that you hold in your portfolio? So, I mean, first of all, you know, people like to know what company have you added to the portfolio recently, which excites you the most? And then, you know, maybe some ones that you've had in there for a little bit longer, which are making some really strong progress.
Yeah, I think, certainly for companies which are kind of young in our portfolio, you know, for example, a slightly left field, if you like, in terms of life sciences, inverted commas. But when I explain kind of the reason why they're in there, I think it'll make perfect sense. But there's a company we've got called Levitex Foams, and Levitex have created unique foam technology for mattresses and pillows. So their initial target market and their kind of primary route to or market is healthcare. Obviously, if patients are in hospital, particularly if they are bedbound, then there's various different matters that can affect them. So actually treating them properly and making sure they've got appropriate mattresses, pillows, etc., to make sure that they are well supported, that can reduce the likelihood of bed sores, things like that. It's hugely important, and you know, their evidence suggests that they can decrease the length of time people are in hospital just by making sure they're on the right mattresses and etc. Now, obviously, going into healthcare, it's a long buying process. So they have been working with a number of pilots, and that's been well received. But in the meantime, they've also been working on the sports and side of what they do. So they've been working with numerous sports clubs and individuals to help them improve their performance by getting good sleep and making sure their bodies are well supported. So Levitex is a company that, you know, we've been delighted with over the last 12-18 months. They've made some great strides, and they're now selling commercially. You can buy their mattresses and things online. They're in a number of major retailers. But the key thing for them will be the long term, will be the healthcare market. So that's kind of a very interesting company we've got there. I think in terms of longer held companies, I think one of our companies which we're on our third funding round with now is a cancer diagnostic company called Zilliqo. So Zilliqo is looking at initially cervical cancer and the diagnostics for that. So for example, a lot of diagnostics for cancers traditionally have been done purely by a consultant in cervical cancer, a gynecologist, who will effectively look at the skin cells and from eyesight and experience only will make a judgment as to whether they think it's cancerous and then whether they need to go down the colposcopy route. And you know, Zilliqo is increasing the efficiency of treating of diagnosing such cancers through their technological devices, which is reducing margin for error and making sure that people are being treated quicker. It's also meaning that people are getting an accurate diagnosis quicker than if they're having to go through blood tests, which can take, you know, days, potentially weeks, to come back. So that's a company which has been around for a while and is developing well and going very much in the right direction. One other company that is, again, in the med tech space is a company called Metics, Metics Medical. And basically, they have created a vital signs monitoring equipment, which can be utilized outside of hospitals. So again, their target markets include paramedics, you know, air ambulances, etc. And what their device does, it means it can link into, for example, the paramedic services, it can link into their computers, and it can link in direct into hospitals. So the not only can the paramedic providers prioritize patients, etc., make sure they're going to the right hospitals by monitoring their vital signs remotely, but also the doctors can start to see patients' information before they even reach the hospital, so they can make better decisions and make sure people are being treated effectively. One of the things I love about Metics was when we first met them, we funded them through our CDIS originally. And the first time I went to meet them and looked at what they were doing, you know, their device was very much, as you'd expect at seed stage, was little bits of tech dotted around a desk. And they were saying, right, this bit does this bit does this, etc. So to now seeing that company over the last 4 years or so go from, you know, having this great concept, great basic tech. They've now developed that through through their development stage. They've now got, you know, various accreditations for it to be utilized, and they're starting to roll it out with a number of healthcare providers, not only in the UK but also in the States. So to see a company go from that great idea from that very early stage to actually now being utilized globally is great. And those kind of companies, it's you know, it really vindicates what we do, you know, in terms of the funding we provide to help these companies grow and to scale and do what they need to do. So those are just three very, very brief examples. I mean, beyond that, we've got drug discovery companies, we've got people, we've got biotechnologies. And again, I think, you know, like I said previously, you know, we've got a lot of things now in the wellness space as well. So we've got a company called Minerva who are operating in the wellness space. And it's about providing an online platform for people to find the right kind of support that they need from various places. And, you know, that's, again, a very much a growing trend. People are moving towards a more digital and online world. So actually, I think what you're finding, again, because of COVID, is people are more happy to speak to a doctor online or speak to a consultant or a counsellor, etc., doing it online rather than doing it face-to-face, etc. So we are seeing those kind of those platforms like Minerva, which is allowing people to access therapists as and when they need online via video chat, etc. So again, you know, that's potentially a trend that we've seen. COVID has supported companies like that in terms of changing people's behaviour and allowing them to actually change what they're doing and change the way they work.
And so what is it like in terms of liquidity events for companies being held in the life sciences EIS? I mean, seen very recently you had an exit in your renewable energy EIS. So, I mean, in terms of life sciences, have you had any exits yet? And is it a situation that it may be slightly different to maybe sort of technology companies? I mean, is it going to be sort of buyouts of companies? Is it going to be IPOs? What does that sort of look like for your life sciences funds?
Absolutely. I mean, so yeah, the fund's been around for just over 4 years. So we're probably about a year away from starting to see our first real exits coming through. We've got a number of our companies are currently in discussions with potential acquirers who have got a watching brief, etc. So yeah, we are, you know, these investments, they are organic in the sense that, you know, when those exit opportunities come, it's, you know, it's not something that you can necessarily manufacture. Yeah, you know, we obviously work with them to identify exit opportunities and make sure they're ready. But, you know, it is about the timing of the market and what's going on. Having said that, in the UK, we've got a very active life sciences world. There is a lot of M&A activity going on in the market. And it depends really on what the business is and what they're doing. So, for example, you know, a drug discovery company may be R&D focused. You know, during the lifetime of their business, they may never make a single penny of commercial revenue, but they're building up research and development, which will be of great value to a big pharma company. Now, an organization like that would probably be a trade sale. It would be an acquisition by, you know, your big blue chip pharma companies would look at those and buy them for the research they've developed. You know, you're probably not going to see an IPO for those kind of businesses. It's not kind of in the nature of what they do and what people would invest in. But then on the other side of things, yeah, we've got, like I said, diagnostic tools, medical technologies, digital healthcare, etc., where an IPO could be their route to exit. So it really is a kind of a cross section of of different opportunities, and it's finding the right opportunity for the right company. So, yeah, it varies on a case by case basis. But again, the opportunities that we're working with our companies on at the moment are predominantly trade sales. However, we've got a couple of companies where we probably think their IPO, an IPO is probably their route to exit. In those companies, you know, we're probably looking another two years or so before they'll be in a position to do that. But yeah, the ones we are looking at exits for at the moment are predominantly trade sales.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. So just to finish things off here, Andrew, would you have to just give a little bit of background and just sort of run through your range of funds that you have at DeepBridge and how people can go about finding more?
Yeah, certainly. So, at DeepBridge, we operate two enterprise investment scheme funds. We have the DeepBridge Life Sciences EIS. We also have the DeepBridge Technology Growth EIS. I've obviously discussed what the life sciences EIS invests in, and the Technology Growth EIS is very much purely on technologies, but again, for across a mixed range. You know, we've got everything from blockchain to AI technologies through to battery efficiency technologies, etc. So a whole myriad of things in there. And then we also have the DeepBridge Estate Planning Service, which invests purely in renewable energy. So we've got about £50 million worth of assets in renewable energy across the UK now, and that's growing well. That is predominantly for business relief purposes. So investors who are looking for inheritance tax purposes to mitigate inheritance tax can use the Estate Planning Service and invest in business relief qualifying assets in the renewable space. People can find more information from our website, deepbridgecapital.com. We always recommend that people take financial advice. So we do recommend people speak to their independent financial advisor and get some advice on what they're doing, whether it be from a tax planning perspective or just exposure to private equity portfolios. We're always happy to speak to people. I hope that it comes across that we're extremely passionate about what we do. So we do love speaking about our investments, our companies, etc. The best thing people can do is really pick up the phone, speak to us, and we'd love to have a chat.
Fantastic. Andrew, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jonathan.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember all investment involves risk.